you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me into Ephesians chapter 3? Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is writing here to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. In Philemon, he writes, yet for love's sake, in verse 9, I rather beseech thee, I beg thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. This makes the third Sunday, part 3, on the life of the great apostle Paul. I want to deal with him as being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. A prisoner. And what I really want to focus on is you're in your place of confinement. What are you in your place of confinement? Now listen. Your places of confinement will identify who you really are and what you have. The place of your trial will prove your determination and commitment to serve God and go to heaven. In your place of confinement. We learned so far that this man wrote 13 books of the New Testament, almost half of the New Testament. If he'd have wrote one more, it'd have been half the New Testament.
Yeah.
This man wrote. Four of his epistles were written while he was in prison in Rome. When Paul wrote these letters, he was under house arrest and guarded day and night by a Roman soldier. He remained there in these bonds for 2 whole years. While there in that place of incarceration, he wrote the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He makes mention of his bonds in all of these letters. Now notice, he starts off his letter to the Ephesians, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. In ending the letter, he said, I am an ambassador in bonds.
Yes.
To the Philippians, Paul wrote, my bonds are manifest in all of the palace and in all other places. I want to ask us this morning, I got up and I wrote this. I had it all studied out yesterday. But I sat there in a chair this morning and the Lord just gave me some things. And I want to ask each of us, we all go through trials.
Yeah.
We all will suffer. There'll be places that we'll be in and we wonder why we're there.
Right.
No fault of our own. And we question, why am I in this situation?
Right.
Why am I having to suffer this and endure this?
Yeah.
What went wrong? Now notice what God's getting ready to do through this man. I want to ask you, if you were in bonds, would you be patient and kind? You were in chains, and you were hurt, and people persecuted you for the gospel's sake. Would you be patient and kind? If your movements were restricted, listen, and you were held in a place under the watchful eye of a guard, how would you take it? How would you take it? For 2 whole years, you could not leave your home. 2 years.
2 years.
You're not allowed to go out of your house. 2 years. People carried food into you. Yeah. Someone washed your clothes for you. That's good. But you couldn't even go out, not even step out the front door and walk out into the lawn and take a stroll somewhere to visit. You couldn't step out into a beautiful flower garden. You couldn't go to Walmart. That would be bad. I'm here this morning, and I'll teach probably less than an hour. We'll be on our way. We'll go to our fine residence. But suppose this right here was your house. And suppose that there was a Roman guard and they took cycles and their watches. You was not allowed out of those doors there. And you was under house arrest. I sit right here all day long. What would you do in house arrest? What would you do? The night goes through, Monday morning, Monday goes through, Tuesday, Wednesday, this time next Sunday, I'm still here. I've not went out that door. I'm not allowed. I'm restricted. I'm in a place of confinement. How would you take it? What do you have within you that'll keep you? In your place of trial, when you're restricted, and you have no movement about you, and you're under the watchful eye of a guard, how would you handle your situation? We're blessed. We've got freedom in this country. We've got liberty in this country. Yeah. We come and we worship. We have the music. You felt the presence of God this morning. I felt the tears and I raised my hands. I'm at liberty. But what about the early church when it was under heavy persecution? When people were giving their life and dying for the gospel of Christ, they were being crucified, set on fire at a stake. Listen, beheaded, crucified on crosses. How would you handle your place of confinement, your trial? Stay with me.
Yeah.
Stay with me a while. Oh, I want to ask you, how do you think, how much God do you think you would have? What is it that would keep you sane? Would you still have peace? Would you still have a good attitude and treat others around you right? It would take a lot of prayer, and that's what Paul did in his place of restriction and confinement. He lived by prayer. This lets me know that Paul, being under house arrest, housebound, God was still with him. Do you know that God is still with you in your situation? How many can say that this morning, without even raising a hand, I know what I'm going through. My heart is right with God, and I'm trying my best to serve Him. I know that He's still with me. Can you say that in your heart?
Yes.
What is it that's keeping you? What is it that's giving you peace?
Come on now.
And giving you hope within your soul that you can hold on to God and not let Him go? He still had the sweet Holy Ghost abiding in him. He knew regardless where he was at, what condition he was in, he knew he was still called. Do you know you're still called? Do you realize you're still a Christian? That you still belong to God?
Come on.
You're His, and He knows where you're at. Oh, God has not left me. I'm just as much saved right now as when I was a traveling out free. I might be shut up in this house prison, but I still can pray. The Roman government allowed anybody to come in and visit Paul anytime. They could go in, come in, and go out. History says Paul had bad eyesight. Now listen, and you'll see where I'm coming from. But oh, what he could see spiritually. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon was written while Paul was in this house prison during his two whole year. Don't tell me something good can't come out of your places of trial, your places of confinement.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians was written by Tychicus as Paul dictated it to him. It's true. The letter to the Philippians was written by Epaphroditus as Paul fed him and told him what to write. Colossians was written by Tychicus and Onesimus as Paul dictated the words to them. But notice what was said at the end of this letter to the Colossians. That last verse says, the salutation by my hand, the hand of me, Paul, Remember my bonds. Do you know what a salutation is? It is the words of greeting that comes before the body of the letter. Paul says to Tychicus, Epaphroditus, and Onesimus, hand me the parchment and the pen over here to me, and I'll start the letter off with my own hand so that they can see that it's from me, Paul. They'll know that it came from me, and each of these letters start off, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he would hand the pen back to the writer. Now they'll know it's from me.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Paul had bad eyesight, they said. And I don't know how he scribbled it, and he started off, grace, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a prisoner of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. Here, Tychicus, write the rest of it. I want to dictate it to you. Write to the church in Ephesus. Write to the Colossians. Write to the Philippians. They will know that you was in my presence. I want to ask you again, what are you doing in your place of trial? Are you still spiritual minded?
No.
Are you still praying?
Come on, Sean.
Are you still serving God in your place of confinement? I'd like to be out of here. I feel like, you know, there's situations sometimes in our life that just seems to hold us in a prison. We'd like for things to be better. We suffer. I don't know what your trial is. I don't know what your hurts are. I don't know if it's affliction in the body.
Come over.
I don't know if you're having mind battles and doubts and fears that you're wrestling against. I don't know if you're questioning in your time of trial, why am I going through this? Why am I suffering? Why can't I feel the Lord?
No.
Why ain't I free? Why can't I shout? Why can't I go out those doors and praise God and have victory?
Come on.
Listen, in your place is where you really prove your faith.
Yes.
I felt the Lord right there. Raise your hand, praise him. Lord, I'm going to use this place that I'm in, and I'm going to trust you for it, Lord. And you're going to anoint me. You're going to be with me in my prayers, and I'm going to feel your divine presence no matter where I'm at and what I go through, what I suffer. I may question it, Lord, and wonder why that I don't have more of God than this, and why there ain't answers to prayer. 2 whole years. What if I was right here this time last year? How would Tommy Romans handle house arrest? What about 1.5 years down the road and I was still confined to this building right here, and all I knew was a Roman guard and they had their sword on their side and I could not go out, didn't have my freedom? How are you going to utilize your time? What are you going to do? Are you going to let your troubles get you down? Are you going to succumb to the fears, the doubts, the unbelief and say, God's against me, God don't hear, God don't care? What are you going to do in those places of confinement?
Hallelujah.
What are you going to do? Oh, Jesus. Did he hear Paul as he dictated those letters?
No.
How did Paul treat him? Listen now. That Roman guard, let's focus our attention. You know, when I study, Brother Chuck, and when I really pray, so many times, Brother Earl, we skim over time. We go over the scriptures. We just go over them and we don't dig it out. To really get the gravity and to really feel what Paul felt. Listen, are you listening? To know what he's going through with, you've got to place yourself in there in his shoes, right in that house, in front of that Roman guard.
Yes.
Now notice, did that Roman guard hear Paul as he dictated those letters? That guard's in the house. Bible said every time we go to do good, he was always present.
Right. Come on.
Come on now. How did Paul treat the guard? This ain't fair. I wish you'd leave. Listen now. Paul could have turned bitter behind those 4 walls.
Yeah.
But no, he occupied himself. gave his mind to the work of the Lord. He kept his mind occupied on spiritual matters, and as long as Paul prayed, he stayed spiritual, and God visited him and fed him right there in his limited place. Can you say, he's with me in my place? Yeah. What kind of condition? Where's the place that you're at? Where's it at in your heart? Where's it at in your mind? Where's it at in the physical realm? Where are you at? What are you facing? What are you going through in your place of confinement? Are you occupying yourself and say, I still trust you? I'm still praying. The Bible said that Paul prayed exceedingly night and day. Listen to me. He said, men ought to always pray and not to faint. He said, to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. Can I tell you what will keep you in the hard times? It's prayer and a dedicated prayer life unto the Lord. Raise your hand and praise him. I can make it as long as I pray and as long as I trust the Lord. Here I am in my place. Let me be an example. Let me be a light right where I'm at.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Right where you're at, child of God, you can be a light.
Yes.
In a testimony.
Hello.
Notice. Don't tell me you can't serve God in narrow straits and limited confinements that you find yourself in. If you truly love God and have that sweet Holy Ghost, he will keep you, and you can shine the brightest right when it's the darkest.
Yes.
This is what makes you a real, genuine child of God. One of the people that they tied to a stake, listen, it's in history.
Come on.
And as they lit the fire and the wood beneath them to burn them, that Christian in the early church, you know what his words were? Now I become a Christian.
Well,
now I really become
a
Christian. Can you stick your little hand up and say, Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. What was it? They came after Polycarp. They gave him so many hours to pray, and he said, I know you've come after me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hide. I ain't going to run. They took him and led him off to burn him at the stake and said, now you can recant anytime you want to, Polycarp, and we'll let you go. Just deny Jesus.
Deny.
It ain't worth it.
No.
Polycarp, I read the story in Polycarp as they built the fire, built the wood to set him, tied him to the post. They told him one more time, said, Polycarp, he said, to give you one more chance to recant, we'll set you free. Polycarp says, 80, was it 86?
80 and
6 years have I served him, and he's done me nothing but good.
Why
should I doubt him and turn now?
Come on now.
Just wait. Give him a wave offering. Give him a wave offering. How many in the house has served him long enough to know that he's proved himself to you over and over and over?
Yeah.
You might not have always had everything you wanted, but God has fed you.
Fed you.
God has clothed you.
Yes.
God's given you the help that you got.
Yes.
Brother Travis, he has blessed me. He has kept me when I could not keep myself. 44, April the 28th, just a little over a month or so from now, I'll be serving God for 44 years. And I'll be like Polycarp. I've had my ups and I've had my downs, Brother Jason. But he ain't never done me nothing but good. Hallelujah to God. I tell you, he'll answer every one of your prayers. Listen to me. He'll answer every one of them. Hallelujah. And if he don't give you a yes here, he'll answer it when you get over there. Raise your hand and praise him. Every answer, Lord. Hallelujah to God. Glory, glory. He will help you and he'll see you through.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
So, he'll keep you in your darkest time.
Yes, he will.
This is what truly opens people's eyes to the Lord, is when they see you still serving him in conditions like that.
Yes.
What good is a salvation What good is it to others if you go to pieces? If you slack up and you sit down and you quit,
come on.
What's that prove to others? Honest, I don't know. They came in and they went out for 2 years to the Apostle Paul. What do you think they felt when they come in there? The anointing that was upon that man, the presence of God. He had the power of God. He could raise the dead, this man. Do you think you would tremble in his presence as he began to talk? He said, the power of Christ rests upon me. Can you imagine being in a man's presence like that? How are you doing that in the face of a guard, a Roman guard? Because God gave me something a long time ago when I was on the road to Damascus. That bright light shined and that Christ came into my heart. I've never been the same since. Hallelujah. It's he that keeps me. It's he that keeps me going. It's he that gives me strength. I found out when I'm weak, then am I strong. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Raise your hand and praise him. I can go through it. I can endure it. Hallelujah. In my place of trial.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Oh God. Oh God. This is what makes the gospel shine. Is because it has the power to keep you. Listen now. The Word of God will feed you, and the Holy Ghost Comforter will bless you and be with you through the hard circumstances.
Amen.
I believe Paul even treated those Roman soldiers that took turns guarding him around the clock. I believe Paul treated them with deep respect. I can't help but believe it.
Come on now.
Amen.
Would you? Mm-hmm. They had a soul too. Anybody ever make you mad? Anybody ever hurt you?
Oh, yeah.
Paul had something in his heart. To the Ephesians and to the Colossians, Paul told the servants to fear God and be obedient to your masters with singleness of heart, knowing that you have a master in heaven. I really believe we can make the best of every situation. We don't have to lash out when things go wrong.
Man.
You listening?
Yeah.
You don't have to lash out when things go wrong.
Yes.
You don't have to turn against one another and fight and quarrel and turn bitter in your hearts when you go through your trials. Who's with you? Who called you?
Right.
Paul didn't. He still prayed. He still trusted and obeyed God right where he was. And we have these letters today with us that is proof that there is peace in hard times. God will give you grace and give you can have victory right where you are. And it's all in your attitude.
Yes, amen.
Come on, Bert.
It's all in the attitude.
Yeah.
I know I'm called.
Come on, Bert.
I know you're called.
Come on,
Bert. I feel the wonderful Spirit. You're here in God's presence this morning. You've been called. You've been chosen. God predestinated you before you ever came along to give you a chance to know him. You've been with a heavenly calling in your heart, your life. Do you think God will walk off from you and leave you? Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I don't care what kind of tunnel you go through or a valley. Listen, your place is a confinement. God said, I'll be right there. Can you praise him this morning? I'll make the best of it. I'll shine that gospel. I'll stand and believe his word until the Lord sets me free.
Amen.
When you read your Bible, place yourself in their shoes and read it that way. This thing's real, my friend.
Yes.
To the Philippians. Notice what Paul said. Now, if he wrote this, if Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians and he was in prison, house prison, listen what he says in the fourth chapter. First four, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You're writing that while you're in prison?
Yeah.
What?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord, I say, always. And again, I say rejoice. And you wrote that. You had them to write it for you. You dictated it. And you're telling them to rejoice. Listen. Let your moderation, that means let your sincere humility and temperament. What? Paul in prison. He said, let your sincere humility and temperament, moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Here we go. Be careful for nothing. Be not troubled, fearful, and worried about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know how the best way is to start your prayer off? Is thanking God for everything that He has done for you and given you. That's the best way I know to approach Him. I do it all the time. How many goes to the Lord that way? When you know, it makes me feel bad. To come and, now, God, you see all this. And I come with an attitude. Now, God, I want this. I want that. And, you know, this ain't right. This ain't okay. And we fuss. But then again, we come with an humble heart. Lord, I thank you for another day that you woke me up. And I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I thank you for my home. I thank you for my marriage, the kids. I thank you for the food, the clothes, the house I live in. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. I thank you for how you brought me out of the tight spots I've been in and the hard times. I thank you for healing this little body. Can you raise your hand and say, I thank you, Lord, for those times that you heard me and you answered. You supplied my need again and over and over again. You healed me when I was sick. You raised me up when I was down. You gave me strength when I was weak. You gave me hope when the devil said there was none. When it looked like all was going to fall apart, God, you came through. I praise you for those times. You know what that does? That builds a confidence in you to come then boldly before the throne of grace and say, now, Lord, I can come and I can bring my petition and my request to you. Ain't God good this morning?
Yes.
Praise God.
Where are you at? I want to ask everybody here this morning, where are you at? What are you going through? What are you facing? What's your need? Don't doubt Him now. Right where you're at, use your situation. And God will bless you right in that situation to give Him the glory. Holy Lord, holy Lord, holy. I told Mary, I said, when I was studying this makes the third Sunday on Paul, I cannot let loose of it, children. There's so much in here that we need to know. We look, now listen, we look at the power of Paul, but we don't look at his sufferings. But I want to get in there and study the humanity of this man, how he went through these things and what happened to him. How did he handle it? Oh, God. He said, if you'll do that in your prayer and thanksgiving, he said, and verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Something's a keeping me in this prison.
Yes.
Peace of mind and peace in my heart right where I'm at. Hallelujah. I can't go past that Roman guard, thank God. The doors in my life are shut, oh God. But I still got the Lord in here with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I say glory, I still got Him. I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, living within my heart.
Yes, amen. Oh, God.
Now notice what Paul writes to the Philippians. Paul wrote, my bonds are manifest in all the palace. That means revealed. They're not hid. And in all other places. Everybody knows about my imprisonment and my bonds and my chains. They've seen it and they know about it. Huh? He said, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What are you saying, Paul? Listen.
Come on.
He said, everybody knows that I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I may be bound, I may be shut up in this place of prison, but it has not stopped the word of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Like the song the Hensons sing, lock me up in a prison.
Oh,
and throw away the key. Take away the vision from these eyes that now can see. Deprive me of the food I eat, and even bind my hands and my feet. But as long as I know Jesus, I can still go free. That I can still go free. Hallelujah to the Lord. You might see shackles. You might see iron. You might see the chains. But this man's free. You might see a prison. But there's a light in this prison. Hallelujah. There's victory in this prison. Glory to God.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have it? Do we have it? Do we really know the power of God in hard times? Do we really have it and know it? Have we found that place of full trust in God to turn it all over to Him and say, I'm going to pray anyway? I felt the Lord. I felt the Lord again. Raise your hand, praise Him. I'm going to pray anyway, Lord. I'm going to pray anyway. And keep right on praying, right on praying, right on. My day will come. My season will come. It'll come. It'll come. It'll come. Holy, 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 Lord. Oh, God. Anybody getting anything out of this?
Come on, Brother Tom.
I hope you are. We might have to face some things just like this in the future.
Yeah.
If Jesus does not come, we might be up against things that we will have the power of God in prayer to get through it.
You're right.
This man, Paul, was free in his soul. Victory in the Holy Ghost reigned in his heart. Nothing could dampen his desire. His desire and his vision was greater than every hindrance.
Yes.
Can you say this morning, my desire in God is greater than any and all hindrances? It's greater. It's just greater. Bonds and chains and persecution could not stop this man's dedication and commitment unto the Lord. The love of Christ constrained him. The grace of God kept him. And the mercy of Jesus saved him. Now it moved him to win others. I want to tell somebody something this morning. You're praying for your family. You're praying for your neighbors. You're praying for certain people. Let them see Jesus in you when things get hard. That'll open their eyes when nothing else will. If Tommy can go through that and he's still faithful to church and still loves God and gets up and teaches and sings. If my wife still gets on that piano with migraine headaches, come on. Has sometimes take 4 Advil, lay on the couch and put sunglasses or cover her eyes with a towel and make it dark in the room. I've seen her come out with that gout in her feet so bad that she couldn't wear shoes and wear house shoes to the house of God. Wear socks in the wintertime, cold frozen ground, and come and get on that piano. And her feet are hurting her so bad with the gout, and still work the pedal and still sing praises for Jesus. That's when you'll shine.
Yeah.
That's when you'll make an impression on people.
Come on, buddy.
Hallelujah. When nothing goes right in your life for a while and you don't see answers, you're still dedicated to God that saved you, and you still love Him and give Him praise. You still worship Him. That'll open up your family's eyes. That'll open up people that they say they got something real and genuine. If Paul can make it, I can too. Raise your hand and praise Him. If that man made it, and if the apostles of old went through it, and if the people today are dedicated unto the Lord and don't let nothing stop them, that'll open up people's eyes.
Yes.
Well, I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. I'm going on by Jesus just the same. Hallelujah. I'm going on no matter. Let the lightning flash and let the thunder roll. Hallelujah. I'm going on with my Jesus. He called me a long time ago and I want to be faithful. I want to finish my course. Hallelujah to God. Hey, I fought a good fight, Paul said. I have finished my course. Hallelujah. And I kept the faith. He said, therefore there remaineth unto me a crown of life that the Lord will grant unto me on that day, and not only unto me, but all of those that love His appearing. Paul said, I finished my course. I've come to the very end. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I had chances when I was whipped and flogged and stoned. Hallelujah. Shipwrecks. He said, but I held on to the Lord. He said, I'm so glad I did. He said, I've got souls that I have gotten saved. He said, I've gotten people and churches started. He these dead people have been inspired to hold on to this Jesus because I held on to him. Hallelujah. Yes.
Lord have mercy.
Praise God.
Yes.
You are a link to others more than you really realize you are.
Right.
Yep.
A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You can lift 1,000 pounds, Sister Missy, with a hoist. If one of those links break, all of them are stout and strong. But one link break with that 1,000-pound weight, and the whole load that you was a working on, everything that you was a working on that job, it hits the ground and tears all to pieces because of one link, one weak link. God has placed you in the house of the Lord. God has placed you as a light in a family, in a neighborhood. If you break, if you quit, if you give up your faith, everything that was attached to you and was being held together by you, you're what's holding your family.
Come on now. Hold it together.
You're what's holding this church.
Come on.
You're holding the church. You're holding your brothers and sisters. Keep right on preaching. Listen, keep right on singing. Be faithful to the house of God.
Faithful.
Listen, because if you break, others will give up.
Yeah.
Raise your hand. I feel him. People's are watching. Their eyes are up on you. Oh, hallelujah. God, the responsibility that is upon me as a child of God.
Yes.
You're right.
So what they're saying is they view Paul and they read his writings. They're saying if Paul can do it, so can I.
Yes.
If that man Paul can keep right on going and in the service of the Lord and maintain his faith and victory, so can I. If he can keep the joy and the power through all that he's going through, surely I can do it too.
Yes.
Did you know that God is wanting to use you as an example to others? Oh. Anybody got a testimony? I'm glad I didn't get called. Sissy, do you have a song today? People sit in the house of God and they just bury their eyes and hope that nobody will ever see them. We've got something in this heart. And God put it there. Listen to me. God put it there. And when we say, Lord, there's a lot hinged on me and I've got to keep on serving you.
Right.
Yes.
By faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen.
Walk by faith.
If you walk by feeling here this morning, you're in for trouble. If you walk by faith and say, I can't feel what I want to feel yet, by faith, I'm going to be faithful right in my calling.
Right.
Yeah.
That feeling will come. I feel the Lord. Raise your hand, praise him. The victory will come. The final victory will come. The battle will end by my faith and perseverance.
Right.
Glory to God. I want to end this. Listen. I want to ask you, what kind of example are you? What kind of example am I? The Lord is needing some sold out lives for others to follow.
Mom.
What's our friends and neighbors see in us, and what's our family see and know about us? Are we faithful? Does our commitment to God show? Do they see the love of Jesus in us and take notice that we still press on in the hard times?
Come on.
That we still have a desire in our hearts through our trials. That we don't let the devil get us down and discouraged to the point that we let up and quit. Do they see in us a vision for the Lord and to feel that drive in us through all of our hindrances? Do they see the love of God in our heart for others? Like the old saying is, if you got it, you'll show it, and if you don't, you won't. One person said it this way: I would have if I could have, but I couldn't, so I didn't. I would have if I could have, but I couldn't, so I didn't. We feel like we can't do anything because we just don't have faith in God. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. God help us. Jesus is greater than that.
Great.
Oh, precious God. I'm going to quit right here. She wants to come to the piano. Oh, sweet Jesus. Listen, I do want to say this. Paul had three major missionary journeys and other smaller ones besides. He served God for 28 years, and out of that 28 years, almost 6 years, Paul spent in prison. Woo! It is estimated that he traveled on foot and over ground by beast 10,000 miles.
Well,
over 15,000 miles he traveled across storm-tossed and choppy seas by ship. What? Paul wrote the Colossians, and Colossians 4 says, pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul was looking for another door. Show me, God, another soul, and I'll go, and I'll do, and I'll say, and I'll preach, and I'll sing for one more soul.
Come on.
One more.
Would you stand with me? There's a song. I'm a prisoner of love. When I came to Jesus, I settled it all. I gave him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion could draw me to Christ, but his love has captured my soul. I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to the master. I willingly toil through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world below, but payday will come when the pearly gates unfold. He holds me secure with his love so strong and true. I'm happy his servant to be. In bondage to Jesus forever I'll stay. My soul doesn't want to be free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How'd you do it, Paul? How'd you do it? The grace of God. I kept right on believing and trusting and praying. Let's find a place and pray. Come on, come on, children. Pray at our seats, pray at this altar, and say, Lord, in my place of trial, in my confinement, in my place, dear Lord, let me be a light, let me be faithful. Good things come out, hallelujah. Isaiah said he'll give you the treasures of darkness. In the darkest time, there's treasures that can be found. You're not alone, child of God. If you're called, you're his. You can do it.
When I came to Jesus, I settled it all. I gave him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion could draw me to Christ, but his love has captured my soul. I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to the master. I willingly toil through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world.
Yes, God.
He holds me secure with his love strong.